These fast blasts are absolutely incredible. Cheryl writes from Idaho. Hey, George, I think this demon stuff is having problems and causing problems with my computer. Everything's going crazy. This is weird. I'm having problems with my atomic clock. What's happening? I don't know what's happening. All I know is something's going on. We'll be back with the rest of your demon calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Yeah, Richard Hoagland writes me and says, George, sounds like something entered the atmosphere causing a massive electronic pulse, EMP, electromagnetic pulse. Either that or it's more serious. He's going to keep looking for us as well. Let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello there. Whoa. Hi. Gotta go. That was bad. See? Strange times ahead of us. Let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast.
This is Suzanne in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Not bad. Just getting through maybe an electromagnetic pulse that hit us. Who knows?
Well, hopefully it didn't hit us too hard.
Yeah, really.
Phones are still working. I was calling because you were talking about demons this evening, and a friend of mine that I work with recommended that I call you, and I've tried before, but I've never gotten through, so maybe I'm supposed to call. When I was 17, I used to run away from home a lot, and during the last time that I ran away from home, I kept having this experience in the evening times where when I go to sleep, just before I'd wake up, I would feel this dark figure looming over me the first time it happened, and just as you get the hair raised in the back of your neck and you get that tingly feeling in your mouth, I jumped up and looked behind me, and a split second later, my neighbor came out, or the roommate came out, and I thought maybe that was, you know, just I felt this presence coming.
Yeah.
But I left that place, and I went and stayed at another place with this woman, and several times where I was going to sleep in the living room, there's two couches that face each other. And I was just falling asleep on the couch when I saw three people sitting on the couch across from me, and they were talking, and suddenly there was an armchair at the end of the couch, and there was a dark figure. You couldn't see anything. It was just a dark figure, and it was like watching them, and as I looked at it, I could feel it move and look at me, and I sat up, and suddenly the chair was gone, and the figure was gone, and all the people were gone, and I was like, you know, whoa. Well, the next time it happened was the very next night, and I laid down on the opposite couch, and before I even closed my eyes, I felt the wall disappear and that armchair come right at my head and the dark looming figure looming over my head. And so I sat up, and again, it was gone. The wall was there, and it freaked me out. It freaked me out a lot.
I would guess so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, The next time that it happened, I decided I wasn't going to let it happen anymore. I was tired of it. It bugged me. It didn't say anything to me. It was just, I felt the presence. It felt like Satan himself. It didn't feel like a demon. It didn't feel like something messing with me. It was Satan. There was no features. There was no, you know, things moving around. It was just a really, really evil, bad feeling. And so that night, I turned off all the lights in the apartment. I shut all the blinds. I shut the door. And I sat on the couch. I waited about 5-10 minutes, and then I started talking to it. And I said, look, you know, I'm awake. I'm here. If you want to mess with me, if you want to talk to me, you know, at least do it while I'm awake. And nothing happened. I sat there for an hour. I waited. I fell asleep. Nothing happened, and nothing's happened since that time. But I do recall the incident that happened before all this stuff happened was the girl that I eventually moved in with at that time. She wanted to introduce me to her friend, Sebastian, and she kept saying, oh, he's around here somewhere, he's around here somewhere, and he'll be here soon. And we were in the management office, and I looked through, you know, those interior windows, and I saw a pair of eyes looking through the blinds in the interior window, and I saw such evil. I said, I just saw Satan right there, and she looked out the window, and she goes, oh, hey, that's my friend Sebastian. And I freaked out and said, you know what, I don't want to meet that man.
Let him go.
I did not meet him. Huh?
Let the guy go, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I did not want to meet him, so I chose not to stick around, and it was shortly after that's when the first incidents started. So after that last episode.
I wonder if Sebastian was a demon or a ghost, and she didn't even know it.
He could have been Satan himself, too. I mean, the look in his eyes, I didn't see his whole face. I saw his hair. It was black hair. It was very curly and fluffy, and it was the eyes that stood out. And when I looked up in the window, and that was the first thing and the last thing that I saw was those eyes that was looking straight at me, and I felt such a wave of evil wash over me. I freaked out, and I said, oh, my God, I think I just saw Satan. And that's when she turned around and looked, and then she peeked out the door, and she said, oh, that's my friend Sebastian.
Why would you see the evil in the eyes and she not?
I don't know. She was older than me. I think I was in a really heightened state of awareness. When you run away, you have to really watch your back. I wasn't stupid. So, you know, I was stupid for running away.
But, well, you're street smart.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah. I was one of the lucky ones.
Why did you run away so much?
Well, I have a very large family, and my mother is bipolar, and she used to flip out on us a lot, and I was one of the middle children. And rather than take the brunt of the everything, I just decided maybe it was better for me to leave.
Yeah, I bet you're still street smart, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God. You should see some of my other brothers and sisters. Boy, you think I go through hell, they go through a lot worse hell than I do.
Man, you grow up fast, though, at that age. 17 years old, you would run away?
Well, I ran away first when I was 12. The last time I ran away, I was 17.
Where do you go as a 12-year-old?
As a 12-year-old, I went 5 miles away. As a 13-year-old, I went half the city away. At 14, I went to California and then Missouri. And as I got older, I went to Florida. You just hitchhike with truck drivers.
Do you know how lucky you are to still be alive?
As I said, I was certainly blessed. Actually, that's one of the reasons I had tried calling your show earlier. I know this sounds really weird, but I did see God when I was 14 years old.
Well, maybe God picked you up while he was in a truck, because I'm telling you, you nowadays, and I'm sure even then, because you don't sound that old. But let me tell you something: kids can't even hitchhike nowadays. Something will happen to them.
You know, I wouldn't even attempt it in this day and age. Looking back at the grace of God, that man, he was like right by my side. And I had one truly terrifying experience when I ran away, and there was a voice in my head at that particular moment outside of my ear said, take your knife. It was a male voice that said it very clearly. And I think if I hadn't have taken my knife that time, it would have been much worse than what it was. But it was like the middle of all that running away. And I think that was like God saying, you know what, I've watched your back enough. Maybe you need a kick in the butt.
Yeah. Maybe so. Hey, thanks for the stories. Appreciate it. Let's move to our, let's say, East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Welcome to the show, sir. Hi.
I want to start off and say that your show's been great tonight, and this whole week's been real good. So,
well,
yeah.
Thank you. Wait till you see next week, by the way.
Oh, I can't. Get me too excited now.
it's like a fix, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Every night. It's been this way for 2 months for me now, so... But my name's Cullen, by the way, I just called earlier to ask your opinion actually on this, and we're on the whole demon discussion tonight. And when I was a lot younger, I'm 22 now, but I was a lot younger, probably, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, in that range. I kept seeing things that I didn't really think I saw. Like at first it almost looked like, you know, like a rat running across the ground, you know, nothing that, or a rabbit across the street, you know, nothing that you would like notice right away.
Right.
Just kind of up the corner of your eye. But I noticed it in weird spots. Like it was, I'm trying to think, they were like little, not gremlins, I guess.
Little like rodents. Like I call them shadow rodents, Cullen.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I could go with that, yeah. But they were bright, disfigured-looking creatures, is what I would say.
Like, do they have high antennas on them, and do they look a little like opossums?
No, they were more like, it looked like some of them would look like, I guess, like a lizard without a tail and more of like a Cheshire kind of face, almost.
Huh, okay.
But when I was younger, they would all, anytime I saw this, I would see a shadow, it looked like a shadowed figure. And I've heard, you know, of the shadow people, you know, and I've researched that for years and years and years because I figured that had something to do with it. And never really, you know, thought it did, actually, after researching it. And then for, you know, when I turned 15, I moved to Charleston, South Carolina for a little bit with my mom. And then I moved back to Virginia when I was a little older and started high school. And so when I moved back, I didn't see any of these things. I didn't see any while I was in Charleston for years. And then right as I was, I guess, graduating high school, I started seeing, I don't know, like these images again. And not just, and like they were more in public places now, like in the school or in, or at the mall or something like that. And they would be a lot more apparent. And they were just kind of like scattered everywhere, all over people, like not on every person, but they were just everywhere.
But the people weren't aware of it, obviously.
Right, right. And like, I'm not saying I have like a divine power or anything per se, you know, but like it was, it just confused me because like, you know, they would be on like objects, not just people. Like it would just be, it could be like just sitting like on like a table, you know, like maybe a little bit bigger, like the size of a possum. Yeah, or something like that. So, like,
were you perplexed that other people couldn't see these things?
That's the thing. When I was younger, I kind of, you know, joked about it with my friends. I was like, "Hey, you know, did you see that?" And they were like, "No." You know, and you think, you know, you're seeing things, you know. And I went to a doctor to get checked out, everything, and everything tested clear. And I've never, you know, had any psychosomatic, you know, reflexes or anything. And but like I said, over the past couple of years, they've gotten to the point where, like, I don't see them necessarily all the time. Like, right now I don't. But at other times, it just kind of hits me, like, almost like I said, like out of a corner of an eye. And as soon as I, like, focus, they're everywhere. And these things are just, like, everywhere. And the shadowy figure that I was saying about earlier is always there. And I figured out what it looks like now. But I don't understand its meaning, per se. And, like, after, when I was a lot younger, I didn't know about plague doctors. Are you familiar with the
plague, like, doctors? No. What's that?
During the plague, in the Europe, you know, the whole time.
The bubonic plague.
The doctors would dress in these masks as to think that, to ward off certain demons.
Wow.
And
okay.
And some of them were like, not like a kabuki mask or something, but more like a masquerade,
like the Eyes Wide. Did you see the movie Eyes Wide Shut?
Right, right. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, like something
those
you would
masks.
Think like a vampire ballroom scene. You know, something but the plague doctor that came to me. Which is, I'll tell you something ironic about it, but it's the plague doctor I've seen is in an old wooden carving, backdated from that time, and it has a beak. Its mask is like a beak, and it's in a long robe, and the only thing showing are its hands and its face, which is
a
beak.
And why would he approach you?
And that's what I've still not understood. But recently, in the past, since December, my friends were in this joined this band. Or formed a band, and they currently, like, the singer had a bunch of demonic problems. He's very Christian, and he had, like, dreams and nightmares, and then figured that, like, he basically figured he fought demons. And God told him, you know, to make the name of the band and all this. He had all these imagery and stuff, and he always comes up with these ideas, you know, for the songs and for their T-shirts and stuff like that. And their hoodie, their jacket, zip-up, it has, I hadn't seen the art on it or anything, and when they got him in, there was the exact wood carving, that plague doctor wood carving, is on the jacket itself. And
when you saw that, you must have freaked.
Dude, I was totally just losing it. I was like, wait, this is freaking me out. And then I told them what I've told you, and this plague doctor, I don't know if that has something to do with it, but since then I've seen him closer, like when these, I guess, gremlin things appear. But like this plague doctor is like somewhere near, like he's always a lot closer. Before it was, you know, I could say roughly maybe 150 yards away, and, you know, then at certain times he could be 50 feet away, enough to figure out that's him, you know.
Well, this is very important, though. What is this plague doctor doing when you can see him? Does he look at you?
It's almost like every time I see him, it's almost as if his back is towards me, and he turns around and looks at me and starts to walk towards my direction, and then he just stops. And then that's every time when that just stops, when he sees me and starts walking towards me, he'll stop walking, and like literally when I blink, everything disappears again.
Do you think he's after you?
I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't. And it's like, I'm not necessarily scared, you know, but like, it kind of freaks me out, really, to be honest. Like,
it should freak you out because, right. I mean, if it keeps looking at you, coming towards you, you got to try to decide if there's something up with you or whether there's some kind of a message behind it. I mean, that is a weird story. Maybe time for one or two more quick calls before the break. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. It's Kurt from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hey, Kurt.
920 KVC, Newstalk.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I've been wanting to call you for a long time. Started listening to your program during a time that I was going through a pretty rough time after my younger brother took his life along with another lady. Prior to that, he murdered my parents. I do believe that there was some demonic influences going on. I got stories after stories about just the the daily influences and whatnot. But I do want to say that recently it seems like I've been. So I haven't been able to sleep for about 3 or 4 days. Last week was pretty rough. I woke up, felt like I was, I couldn't breathe. And out of the blue, I just said, I renounce you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I've never used that word before in my life. I had to look it up in the dictionary to see what it meant. But yeah, we have to deal with a spiritual warfare on a daily basis.
What do you think's happening to you? Why you've been able to sleep for a couple of days?
I think that, I'm trying to make a change in my life, trying to, turn a new leaf, so to speak.
And, you also might be picking up something that a lot of people are beginning to pick up now. There is an uneasiness out there.
I got to let you know, though, there was a time in my life I really didn't care, what was going to happen to me next. And your program pretty much, started me thinking again about how I used to feel. I was born again back when I was, I'm 44 now. I was born again when I was 20, started going to church, and I had, dreams about my parents' death, and 5 years later it came true, and it seems like I've been giving kind of a little bit of a desertion of spirit, so to speak, like your caller here, three or four callers before you, Mike, who can kind of see demons or whatnot. I don't see demons, but I sense, you can tell, I don't know, when I look at some people in the eyes, I can tell whether they're good or bad.
Yeah, well, that's a gift, my friend. Believe me, that's a gift. We got to take this break. We'll be back. Well, we'll be back in a second. We'll take final calls here, the demonic calls tonight. I want to thank all of you for continuing to sponsor Children via Children International. If you will go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, on the left-hand side of the screen, just click the yellow flashing banner. That'll take you right to Children International, where you can sponsor a child. And the first 350 of you who do sponsor a child through Children International, you'll get a signed copy of our book, Worker in the Light, absolutely free. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha. Great.
Hi, my name is Gail. I've been trying for 6 years to get through.
6 years, Gail?
Yes, and I've been waiting for this topic.
All right. Well, hey, it's your moment.
Great. Yes, I've had a couple of demonic dreams. And the first one, I actually live with my parents, and my bedroom is right next to theirs upstairs.
Okay.
And they have a radio that's on their nightstand in their bedroom. And in my dream, I was sleeping in my bed in my room, and their radio was playing. And I remember thinking, well, that is really weird, because why would the radio be on in the middle of the night? And it was really creepy, demonic music, like if a record was playing backwards. And then it felt like this presence entered my room, and I was visualizing it, like I was kind of out of my body. I could see myself laying in my bed on my back. And something came in my room. It was like a dark smoke or a mist, and it just went up the walls and the ceiling, and it engulfed my whole room. And then it came down over my body, and like it went down my body, and it grabbed onto my ankles, and it felt like it was pulling me down my bed. Like
you must have been terrified.
Oh, I was. It was so creepy. And it felt like it was going to drag me underneath my bed. Like there was something, you know, porthole or something under my bed it was going to take me.
Like the old hand that reaches and grabs you. Yeah.
And I woke up at the point where it felt like I got to the foot of my bed. And luckily, I wasn't there. And I was terrified. And so the second one I had, it was more like I was walking through a room, and there were these two creatures that were sitting on a bed.
Oh, now, is this a dream, or is this really happening to
this,
you?
This is another dream.
Okay.
And they were very small in stature, very pale white skin, and they both had black hair and black unibrows, like eyebrows. And their eyes were very almond-shaped and slanted up, kind of like cat eyes. And their eye color was black. And one looked more male, and the other one looked more female. And I remember walking past and noticing, you know, something's wrong here with these beings. You know, they're not human. And I'm thinking, they seem kind of demonic. And then I just wanted to, you know, walk through that room without them seeing me. I'm thinking, oh, can I walk past them without them noticing me? And then I think they did notice me. And then when they did, I woke up.
For a while, you were starting to describe what they looked like. I thought you were describing me.
Oh, really?
Until you got to the demonic part.
Oh, that's a good thing.
You don't want that. All right, well. So you have escaped all this?
So far I have, yeah. And, yeah, I don't know if it could be, you know, something that's trying to reach me through a dream state. Because I am kind of a metaphysical believer, and I started getting into that when I was about 13 or 14.
How old are you now?
34.
34. Do you suffer from sleep paralysis?
I think I might have had it a couple times, you know, that I've actually noticed, been able to recognize that I have had it, but it's not very often.
You know, because so far these have been happening in your dream state, but if they start to happen outside of that, then something's going on here.
And I actually work in sleep. I'm a sleep technician.
What does a sleep technician do?
I run sleep studies during the night on people for different types of sleep disorders.
I bet you see all kinds of things.
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, do you hook people up to electrodes and stuff?
Uh-huh, yeah.
How do they sleep with that?
Most do pretty well, and then some do have a hard time with it.
You know? I would think so, with electrodes everywhere. And then if the electrodes fall off, you have to go and put them back on?
Yep, and I just watch them all night.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen? In the studies.
In the studies,
I mean, do you ever have anybody who seems to be having a nightmare or something? Are they shaking, sleepwalking, anything like that?
I personally haven't had anybody like that, but one of my coworkers told me a story that they had someone who had night terrors that by the electrodes could clearly tell they were sleeping, but just sat up straight in bed, eyes were open and everything, and just screamed out. And then after a couple minutes, lay back down and didn't do anything the rest of the night.
And you've never had anybody die in their sleep or anything like that?
Thank goodness, no.
No, that's good. All right, thanks, Gail.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sleep technician. That's a first for me. Well, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi,
yes,
George.
Sir.
This is a pleasure. My name is Victor.
Hi, Victor.
I'm actually a first-time caller, but I felt a sense of urgency to call you.
All right, what happened, Victor?
This has truly been a bane in my life. In the last several years, it hasn't happened in a couple of months, but I would go to bed. Now I have the night light on. I mean, that's how bad it is. I'm 6 feet two, 260 pounds, played college football.
And you got to have a light on, huh?
I'm not scared of anything. But now, you know, I mean, what happens is I go to bed, I'm not asleep. And I'm calling out to anybody, maybe this happens too. But what happens is it's almost like a dark shadow comes over me and I get a sinking feeling. And it's almost good at first. It's almost like a good feeling, like I'm sinking into something. And then it turns awful. It's almost like I'm passing through gates of something, and it gets scary. And then I'm paralyzed, and I can't move, and I use all my strength, and that doesn't work. Then I start praying. I start praying, dear God, please, what is going on here? I do not see a demon. I do not see. It's just dark, and it's evil. I can feel it. Once I hit that depth, and that when I sink, it starts getting very, very evil feeling, and finally I snap out of it, and I'm up for the rest of the night after that. You know, I mean, I just, it scares
me. Oh, my gosh. How often is this occurring, Victor?
Oh, it occurred to me in the last probably 10 years. It's occurred to me, maybe once every month and a half. I'll be laying down, can't get to sleep. You know how you start thinking about the day and stuff?
Right.
And once I start getting relaxed, it happens. You know, I get this dark feeling, this like a shadow over me. And like I said, at first it's like a euphoria. And then it starts sinking, and I'm going, whoa, where's this going? And then it gets scary as hell. I mean, it scares the living daylights out of me to where I pop out of bed. One night, I got up, and I drove in my car, and I went to the church. That's how scared I was. And this is what happened. I went in there for sanctuary, and I prayed for about 2 hours. I went back out to my car, and I got dozed. I dozed off, and I slept. And I cannot believe this, George. And I was not asleep. I was kind of waking up, and I could see around the church. This has changed my feeling about churches. Around the church were like spirits, but not good spirits, evil spirits. I mean, they were like floating around, you know, like, I mean, it was almost like, you know, the sanctuary was in the church, but outside the church was evil. You know, it's like, you know, you step out of the church and, you know, you're like vulnerable people that can walk out. And, you know, an evil being can, you know, intercept you or something like that.
Well, you know, I could see that, Victor. I could see how evil would loom all around a church knowing it can't get inside.
Yeah. It's like a hospital. So many people have died in a hospital. I've heard of people saying they see spirits in hospitals and stuff like that, you know. But going to bed, I mean, I have a nightlight on, George, you know, every night, you know, just, you know, and it hasn't happened, thank God, in about a month and a half.
Well, let's hope that little bulb doesn't burn out, huh?
Oh, my God. You know, but I've wondered if anybody's ever gone through this, and I'm calling out because it's something that, like I said, it's a euphoria, like you sing. I'm sinking into this feeling, and it's almost good, and then all of a sudden I'm paralyzed, and it's an evil, demonic feeling, you know?
Yeah, well, Victor, it sounds like you have night terrors. That's a clear classic case of night terrors. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Good morning,
pleasure
sir.
To talk with you tonight. My name's Justin from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to share a story with you about something. It didn't necessarily happen to me personally, but it happened to someone in my family.
Okay.
My stepdad was sleeping one night, and he was awakened by two voices laughing. Now, as he opened his eyes and realized there were two demons standing at the front of his bed, he described them as green with reddish glowing eyes. And when the demons realized that he was awakened by them, They taught him to sit up in bed. He was so terrified at this point that he just sat there froze. And when he didn't sit up, they became agitated and physically pulled him up out of his bed. And at this point, my stepdad was frozen with terror. And then as the demons turned to him one last time, they just started laughing and climbed right back out the bedroom window from which they came.
What do you think they were? They sound more like creatures as opposed to demons.
I'm not sure. He used to tell us those stories when we were little kids and scared us. They were demons.
Did he ever talk about them possibly being aliens, extraterrestrials?
No, he's not really a big believer in that. At the time, he had told us that he wasn't a real religious man, and he said that he thought that that was the reason why, and after that happened, he turned to God and everything, and never happened again. But he said he had done some stuff in the past that just, he thought that was the reason why, and it just kind of scared him straight, you know?
Yeah, and I bet, what was it like to go to bed the first night he told you guys that story?
Well, my mom, we had moved in there about a week later into the house they moved in together, and the place we were living was really small, so his room was right down the hall from where we were, and I had a new stepbrother we moved in there, and we didn't go into that room anymore.
I don't blame you. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Sir.
Hello?
Yeah.
George. Hi, my name's David. Calling from west of the Rockies. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I'm very nervous about sharing this on here, but I think it might help some people, too, if I do.
All right, David, go ahead.
I was raised in North Africa, Tripoli, Libya, and my family goes back a long time, my family, you know, occult stuff. I'm not going to elaborate on any of that either because it's, you know, I don't want people, you know, wanting to know what the rituals are and all that. That's not necessary. Anyways, like I said, I was raised in occult stuff, real deep stuff. When I was 14 years old, I was trying to perform a ritual, which is you're not supposed to do this ritual alone. And I tried to do it alone. And what happened was I had conjured what everybody would call a demon, an entity, whatever, however people say it. There's different names for it. We call them risk beasties. Anyway, this thing got away from me, and it was constantly behind me, and it got out of the circle that I had made, and I could feel it behind me. I could hear it hissing.
Yeah.
There was a hissing sound. The next thing I know, my body went just ice cold, and I knew it was in me because I couldn't think straight.
Oh,
I had other thoughts.
And the circle was for protection, right?
Right. And this is a very, very powerful ritual, and the thing I was conjuring was a very, very powerful varmint. Basically, it's called, you call them cast downs, that type. It's, the guy you had on earlier was talking about, you know, the hierarchy, and just the top of the hierarchy, the type that I was trying to conjure. And basically, I could feel it in me. It got into me. My body just went ice cold, and I could hear the hissing in my head. I just lost control. Next thing I know, I walked into my father's bedroom, and I pulled down his box, his gun, the 357 Magnum Highway Patrolman Special. I'm real, real nervous talking about this on the air. Anyways, I put a bullet in the gun, went back to my room. I sat down in the circle, put the gun against my head, and pulled the trigger.
What?
Yeah, and the bullet, I guess it hit my skull and it ricocheted off the side of my head. It broke in three fragments, came down, it shattered my jaw, it broke a nerve on the side of my face, and I'm deaf in my ear. They couldn't even find a mark on my skull where the bullet hit when I went to the hospital. Did a real bad whiplash, really bad whiplash. And the thing, it was out of me at that point. I was gone. I remember that, of course, I had to go into surgery and everything else. And, I'm just shaking real bad right now.
I can understand
this.
That. No, you're doing a good job. Go ahead.
Never give me. But I'm just wanted to share this because, you know, people dabble in this kind of stuff. And I'm hearing all these stories tonight. And there's this lightheartedness that people, you know, when they're telling these stories, it seems. And, you know, I'm just trying to explain that this stuff is super, super dangerous. And it's super, super real. I'm living proof of that. I'm lucky to be alive.
Oh, my God. When you got the gun, did you even have any control at all?
I had no control. I knew what was going on. I knew what was going to happen, everything. And I had no control whatsoever. I couldn't scream or anything. This was on Father's Day morning, too, when this happened. It was on Father's Day morning. My dad, mom, and they were at a church gathering. It's not kind of church with you guys. It's not a demonic church either. It's a ritualistic thing. They were at this church gathering. At the time, that's what I thought. But when I pulled the trigger, because I had a pillow folded over, too, to muffle the shot. The barrel was about 4 inches away from my head. They said they had enough velocity to go clean through my head into a brick wall.
Yeah, I can't understand why I didn't just rip your head off.
But anyways, my dad had stayed home, and he had heard this. He thought it was a jeep backfiring, you know, on the base. And he came, and by that time, it threw my body into shock. My body just went in complete shock, and I felt like I had, you know, to go to the bathroom really, really bad, you know, number two, you know,
that happens, I guess.
And I tried to stand up, and of course my equilibrium was out in my ear because it blew my ear out and everything, and I fell into the door, and that's when my dad heard me fall and came back, and I told him what happened. He saw the stuff on the floor, you know, that I had, you know, the candle and stuff, and he just freaked. He goes, "My God, I told you not to do that ritual." And by that time they got me to the hospital and stuff.
And this demon has never come back?
Oh, it's come back, but it's now I guess you say I got control of it because I've already, you know, it doesn't bother me. It can't possess me in that way. I have encountered it before, you know, since then. I'm 44 years old now. That was 14 years old when that happened. I was 14 years old. And, what you do is when you get these things, what you do is you put them in these circles and then you interrogate them. And there's a type of ritual that you use, and when you interrogate them, you can get information from them, and they can't lie to you.
And what's the big lesson for people who want to dabble in this?
The biggest lesson of all is that I don't know, the lesson meaning if they want to dabble in this stuff, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what's the lesson for them not to?
Well, the lesson for them not to is just that it's not, if you're not fully versed in this stuff, don't even bother. You know, I listen to your show, and then people these dabble these Ouija boards and things like that, and, you know, for fun. And it's not fun. This stuff is real. You don't play around with the Bible. You don't play around with the cross. You know, that's just as serious. This stuff is just as serious on the opposite side.
Man, you are lucky to be alive. Whoa, what a night. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbeth, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.